The reading for this second Sunday in Lent is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." As we continue in these very early weeks of Lent, we hear that reading from the Gospel of St. John, which contains probably the most famous and most quoted verses of the Bible. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In just a few short words, in fairly straightforward language, it sums up the essential beliefs at the heart of the Christian faith. They're told by Jesus to Nicodemus. We don't really know what Nicodemus's motives are, but the fact that he came to Jesus at night, when most of the teaching and confrontation was done during the day, suggests two likely possibilities. He was perhaps trying to trick Jesus into saying something that would justify his arrest. As an elite member of the Jewish community, as a senior leader, the secrecy was either to hide his actions from others in the Jewish council, who may not have desired the same outcome for Jesus, or it was to avoid criticism from the general public, hiding from them what was really going on behind the scenes. Because, of course, by this point, Jesus was already gathering quite a number of followers. In this way, Nicodemus was being incredibly deceptive. He was being really manipulative while trying to preserve his own status. It doesn't paint a positive picture. However, the alternative motive is the complete opposite. He genuinely wants to know more about Jesus' teachings with a heart for change. But again, he'd have been under pressure to hide this from his fellow Jewish counsellors. Jesus' response doesn't really help to clarify Nicodemus' thinking because, as we've come to expect, Jesus doesn't provide entirely straightforward answers. And again, there are many explanations for why Jesus here and in other parts of the Gospels talks in what can seem like riddles. He may have been wisely cautious of the fact that Nicodemus was trying to trick him into saying those things which would break the laws of the day. We know from other occasions that Jesus was very much aware of the timings of when to say what and to who. he had much to do before risking arrest. Like teaching methods today, as a natural teacher, Jesus recognised the importance of those who he taught applying their own thinking so that every individual he spoke to had the opportunity to weigh up what was being said and then make their own choices based on that. Really important when it comes to belief. It's really important that Jesus is following on from God, offering us that ability to exercise freedom of choice. And of course, sometimes what would have made immediate sense in Jesus's day or to that particular person may not carry the same meaning or understanding for us in today's context. And actually, we can see that in verse 11 when Jesus expresses frustration with Nicodemus, real perhaps, or maybe designed simply to put Nicodemus on the spot. He points out that as a Jewish leader, he really should understand the meaning of being born again. Now, a thorough exploration of what Jesus means by being born again would take way more time than we have right now. But at its most basic level, and actually I believe the most important, it refers to the need for us to experience a spiritual rebirth, the beginning of a new life with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in it. That step of faith as we embrace the key things that John highlights in this morning's passage, particularly in verse 16. And moving on to verse 17, let's just run through those again. God loves the world, and that includes us, and he loves it and us deeply. God loves us so much that he sacrificed his own son Jesus for us. And when Jesus died on the cross, our focus during Lent, of course, it was so that sin could never again separate us from God. God paid the price so that death isn't final. And that when we die, we do not have to suffer the consequences of anything we got wrong in life. Instead, we have the promise of eternal life, when we believe, that is. We never really find out whether Nicodemus believed or not, whether he accepted the offer of being born again. Unlike physical birth, of course, spiritual birth is an option that we actively have to take. It doesn't just happen. There are a couple of events later in John which really suggest that Nicodemus did embrace the faith. John 17 verse 50 sees Nicodemus coming to the defence of Jesus, and that's at some degree of risk to himself, though it is a little bit ambiguous. Then in John 19, perhaps less ambiguous, he joins Joseph of Arimathea in tending to Jesus's body when he's taken down from the cross. And it's with really lavish, expensive spices that wouldn't have been necessary. Actually, it's not really relevant what happened to Nicodemus, whether he took that step of faith and came into a relationship with God or not. Because what really matters is what we believe, what you believe. Because Jesus's message in John's gospel is as much for us as it was for Nicodemus. If you do believe and you've already taken that amazing step, you've had that incredible experience of being born again, then it's really important to come back over and over again to this summary of what the Christian faith is all about. I'd even suggest coming back to it every day. We certainly come back to it in every church service. And that's so that even in Lent, when our focus is on sin and mortality, we are constantly brought back to the heartfelt celebrations for the enormous love God has for us. And also so that we're always ready and equipped to share that amazing good news with others in a really quite straightforward, simple way, a short way. We don't have to talk at length. We may not have time to talk at length about our faith. If, as Nicodemus appeared to be, you're still exploring, And I'm assuming that you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't exploring, but you want this life and death transforming belief, then it's yours. You can talk to God, just like you would talk to a friend, and you can let him know. But I'd really encourage you to make contact with a church, with Christians, because there is a fantastic journey of faith ahead for you if you want to take it. And actually, we all need help from others most of the time.